The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Welcome to Desert Island Discs. I'm Flavia Tumusiime. And if you have missed any of our past shows, anywhere you get podcasts, look for Capital FM Uganda and you'll catch up. Every single Sunday, we highlight someone's story, someone's life. And I mean, you will be surprised who you learn from. You'll be surprised whose life actually inspires you, whether in the category you work in, you live in, or you don't. Inspiration comes from all walks of life. Today, I am joined by a guest who's actually the head of technology and innovation at Katende Sempewa and Co. Advocates. She specializes in technology and law. I was actually excited because it's a female who is specializing in artificial intelligence, blockchain, cryptocurrency. I said these are things that confuse most of us. But I'm proud that a woman is actually understanding it. I don't know if that just sounds like I'm being feminine and holding our flag high and saying women can do it, but it doesn't hurt. I have Alice Namoli Blazevic. Yes, welcome to Desert Island Disc, Alice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Flavia.
We want to get to know you and we hope it's okay. We want to know the parts of you that you'd like to let us in and somehow lead us eventually to what you do today. But before we went on, you said I wear many hats. That's what you told me. Can you tell us about the different passions, where you put your energies?
Like Flavia said, I'm head of tech and innovation at Katende Sempewa and Company Advocates. Been doing that for the last 19 years.
19?
Yes. Next year it will be 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel like the 19 years?
I love the experience I've got
right
over the years. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of that. It's been an amazing journey. And yeah, I actually still love the work I do very much, even though I feel like doing something for 20 years now looks like we are the last species who...
I hear you. You're like, everyone's like, what?
Exactly. Like, I meant I...
And this is 20 years at the same place.
Yes, exactly.
That's also key to note. Because you know you can do 20 years in the same field, but in the same place. Yes.
That's what I'm thinking, like... We'll be those kind of people like in museums where like
come on Alice.
What like she did
I,
what?
I did I'm like doing 20 plus years here, so I don't know if we're in the same boat of a cake.
Exactly,
but
that's, I think
it's
that's
true
DNA of human beings, and
yes,
it's completely gone. It's
true.
Like I look at young people now and they're like, what did you say? Like, okay, do you know I've changed jobs in the last, like, I don't know, 3 years?
True
So but I understand them. I resonate with them. There's so much in the world you could do. There's so many opportunities. When we left school, there was not as like many opportunities. You finish school, you go, then you do your job, and you concentrate on that, focus
do
on that.
Do it well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There was nothing like I could, you know, fancy that. I could do this and this.
Yeah.
But for me, it's been learnings here and there. Mm. And I've always liked to evolve. So because, like you said, I'm into tech and innovation, but that's not my background.
Oh, you didn't start there?
No. So my background was in PPPs, mergers and acquisitions, where we structure different like deals for different like corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always specialized with working with either regional companies or global entities that have a presence in Uganda or
Japan.
It's a very exciting space that I love. But at the same time, I got into the space of tech. Of course, as a leader, you always have to walk 100 kilometers ahead definitely of the people you're leading. So to me, when I started pretty much understanding what was coming on the market, like all these technologies that were bound to have an impact on the profession, on our lives. So what I did, I just went in and just understood that the technologies themselves.
Right.
So I did trainings. I trained myself. Over the years, I've also learned to be an autodidact. So I pretty much can be able to
adapt,
teach myself and learn. And yeah, so that's how I ended up understanding the technologies first. That's AI and blockchain. And then in that space, whenever, of course, you're with people, either you're learning with them or in a... It could be a platform where people are sharing different things here and there. Then I kept on meeting clients who needed like legal services.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was hardly anyone who was in that space.
If we were to go back, Alice, and I keep telling my guests, childhood could be really relative. But if you were to go back to the beginning of your journey, where would you like us to start to get to know you?
I had a very, very happy childhood.
Okay.
Thinking about it, I'm actually grateful for that. But going back, I grew up in a very... large family of 15 children.
15
children.
Wow. That can be fun or had? Which was it?
With four mothers.
What was that like?
From a child's perspective, it's like play and have fun and...
So many people around you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm so grateful for that experience. Looking back, I'm like, you know, when you're growing up, the dynamics were like, I think our parents just provided a very, like a very simple space where all of us could thrive and... Okay. Yeah.
No divisions. You know how the thing of like when you're too many kids and there's a favorite or these people do this thing better and everybody has to fight almost for a place.
My father, the way he definitely dealt with us, he recognized each of us as an individual.
Right.
So he gave us so much like space to be
yourself.
Pretty much who we are. I'm so grateful for that because I like to question things and I like the fact that definitely my parents provided that space to question like so many things because when we go in school, there was not much. I liked that and also to be myself because, yeah, I have got quite a strong personality.
Okay.
So you can imagine having to raise 15 children and then you have to deal with this one and then the other one. And then there's this one who is like, actually that strong personality is more for us in the girls than...
Really? That's good. And also I'm glad, like you've said, your father recognizing the streak of confidence and trust, nurturing it than shutting it down.
Exactly.
Did you have interests as a young girl? I mean, were you reading books? Were you listening to music? Were you finding a knack for something? What did you gravitate towards?
When I think of actually my childhood, I feel that I went through like my school life and trying to pretty much cope with the environment. Which is weird because only when I guess I got to university and I was like, okay, this space actually, you don't have so many people telling you, wake up in the morning, do this and this. As in boarding school throughout, I felt like it was a good space to express myself more. Right. And when I discovered that, I'm like, what? You mean I could question this? I could literally not do this, this and that. Mm. I felt like then the box, I kept on like tearing my books.
Ah, during the high school, did you feel that there was someone, there's an Alice wanting to burst out and to be different?
I could express myself, but still the space was always like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I was like, okay, but I'm growing. And anyway, I was thinking, you know what, I need to focus and get good grades. Even at that time, you don't even think of yourself as there's me. You're just thinking, I'm not allowed to do this, I'm not allowed to do that, I'm not allowed to do this. Like the things you're not allowed to do are just...
More than the ones you could do. I want to hear your first song choice at this point to sort of break our ice.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. Any song? Perfect. Perfect. Okay. That's a good song.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time. It's all I own, and in your eyes, you're holding mine. Baby, I'm dancing in the dark with you between my arms, barefoot on the grass, listening to our favorite song. When you said you looked a mess, I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it, darling, you look perfect tonight. Well, I found a woman stronger than anyone I know. She shares my dreams. I hope that someday I'll share her home. I found a love to carry more than just my secrets, to carry love, to carry children of our own. We are still kids, but we're so in love.
Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. My guest Ali Namuli Blazevic asked for Perfect by Ed Sheeran as our first song choice. But Alice, we've come to learn of the world that nothing is perfect and no one is perfect. You get to university and you realize the world that has been created for you over the years isn't really what it is. You have the freedom to now be an adult. What were you going to university to do?
I went in actually to do law.
Straight away. Was it a choice?
Yeah. I knew I wanted to do law earlier.
Okay.
In, of course, secondary school. And to me, actually, that reminds me. You know how you have, like, they ask you for
first choices, choice. First, yes. Choice.
It's like, why are they asking me for three choices? It's low, 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 low. So I just knew. Whoa. That. Yeah, because my personality is black and white. So right now I have a gray area, but okay. I usually employ people to help me to cover that. I'm more of, it's either black or white, right? So I was always very certain of what if I wanted to do this, yeah. And again, my character is, if it doesn't work out, I go in. If it doesn't work out, fair enough. I've hit a wall, I move on, right?
Right.
I chose law, and 6 years ago, someone asked me, why did you do law? And for the longest time, I had thought that it was my father. My father was a lawyer too. And then it turned out that actually, no, it's I have a very unsettling feeling for injustice. Mm. So that's like my inner child is, I crave for justice. Looking at an unjust situation irritates me so much, yeah. Makes me so angry, and I want to do something about it.
Right.
Then my father was a very good mentor. For that, because I was also very, very lucky. By the time I left law school, I had a lot of mentorship, and I didn't know that. That's the thing, is seriously, because my father was a lawyer, people kept on telling me that actually the first time I saw a lawyer was when I left school, and I'm like, how is that even possible? So which right. meant that I had an advantage.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that took me into setting up a mentorship platform called, yes, Coffee with Alice. Where I'm like, okay, how can I help? One of the reasons. The second reason I started Coffee with Alice was when I rose through the ranks, being like a partner, so you end up being involved in the training recruitment, you know, process. I kept on seeing so many young people struggling to convert what they learn in law school. That's the theory.
In practicality, yeah.
And I was thinking, oh my goodness, that's actually true. And then later I learned that so many of the things that helped me to succeed as a lawyer were not pretty much
books.
Things I learned in
it's
school.
What you saw.
So I was like, okay, how do I, you know, help create that platform to help mentor people and share the soft skills that have actually helped me to thrive.
How did you know how to extract? You know, mentorship happens, but you have to be the one who's being mentored. You have to be able to extract the value. How, even when you didn't realize it was real mentorship, what were you able to do differently that you believe, even if it's your personality, that you're able to pick out?
The other hat I wear is I'm a headmistress of my kids' school. The
what?
Biggest school in Uganda, yeah. It has 4 kids.
Yes, and I'm with you now. That took me 2 seconds. Alice.
And yes. About like 12 to 15 teachers.
Yes.
I have learned that through educating my children, they're homeschooled.
Homeschooled, yes.
So I have learned human beings, we learn more by watching.
Yeah. Observing, so yeah, yeah.
Observe.
True.
Others, and when we observe and follow, that actually sticks much more than someone telling you do this, do that, do the other. And to me, it was literally watching my father. Things like keeping time, he was well read, he was, I also understood at the time there were so many things. He was very, very gifted as a human being, so he had so many gifts or talents, yeah. That things he was able to do, looking back, you're like, okay, that was his gift. Like, there's no way you could actually transfer it. But for me, watching, yes, that, I was like, oh, okay, that was his will.
It imprints on you by just watching him. Because even him, he probably, even if you had asked the questions, he wouldn't have said that thing that you saw. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't have been able to transfer
it
through.
Human beings, we learn very little from
the
do this,
told,
do that,
yeah,
do the other. I see that a lot with my children, and I've also learned, in fact, even the people I mentor, I always tell them, please, I want you to walk, us to walk the journey together.
Right.
So that you can learn from me, I can actually learn from you.
Yes.
Mentorship, one of the things I really love about mentorship is the reverse mentorship. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much from young people, and they've actually helped me a lot. You understand? Because you learn from them. I'm a dinosaur in the tech industry, because most of the people in the tech industry are very young. You don't have, 40 plus But then for me, that whole mentorship and help, trying to help people, it's interesting. You're helping, but then you
you're
get
also
so
learning.
Much.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
So they take you into all these spaces and you're like, okay, this is exciting, but also how can I create like more space for you to thrive? Yes. That's through that mentorship, I set up an innovation hub where it's a safe space for lawyers and technologists or people in other spaces to come and create or innovate for the law. It was more from seeing these young people like looking for this space and yearning for this space to create. And I'm like, okay, how do we do this? How do we...
Yeah, how do we make it happen? What's your second song choice?
Canaan something.
Canaan. Waving flag.
Yes.
Yes.
Hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Disc. We have Alice Namuli Blazovic, is the head of technology and innovation at Katende Sempewa and Co Advocates. So just listen to Canaan, Waving Flag. I just love his voice. Very unique. I'm not sure we have the once in a while artists like that come when the voice is just their voice. So good stuff. Alice, you talked about university. You went to do law. Obviously, you'd watched your father be a lawyer. You know, and you say that's the best. When you see someone do it, they don't have to talk to you about it. You can just understudy and you've got it.
And actually, can I tell you, my father had he was very impatient. I think that's where I get it from. Okay. So, like, to sit you down, when we'd have a meeting with him, he would be like, okay, I have three things. Mm-hmm. For him to go beyond that third thing, it's like, maybe we need another meeting. So imagine
to give you another three things.
Exactly. Having to learn from someone like that. You constantly have to run after him to say this was very, very quick at like doing things. So observing, I feel like that's pretty much. But when I joined
university,
legal profession, then of course I got other mentors, like people at work, our senior partners or founding partners whose wings, giant wings, I've been able to literally use. And
I used to tell people I would be a lawyer, you know, just because back in the day that's something everybody said. I mean, if you were good at sciences, everybody just expected you to either be an engineer or a doctor. If you were good at arts, everybody said, you could do law. I'll be honest, every time people said, if you can argue and you're confident, you should definitely be a lawyer. I don't know if it sat well with me, because I'm like, if that's it, if that's all I need to should do, if that's all lawyers do, no thanks. Law
to
is
just
wide.
Be like confident.
No, if you can argue your way out of things, just get over the lawyer. But that, I don't think that's enticing enough for somebody to go just because they want to argue a point. But I've come to understand from people who've done law that oh my God, it's a world. Being a lawyer means you can literally touch and be anything in any category, in any field. And that's something that nobody taught or mentored us through when we were younger during career guidance. I'm like, I wish they had said that, you know, because I can be a lawyer and still find my way back to communications. You find your way into tech. But, you know, nobody had guided us into that.
The firm I work with, it's big, actually. It's, so the first 3 years, you're pretty much going through different phases. So I did criminal, I did family, you try out all, you know, manner of things. After like 2 to 3 years, then for certain you can know what you really want. Funny enough, I wanted to practice human rights. The thing is, criminal law, it's the injustice in there. And also so many things, even contract law. Like, I do a lot of transactional work now. And the firm, it's majorly a corporate law firm. So I ended up really, really enjoying the work I was doing. And then, yeah, of course, the human rights was thrown out of the way. And then for like 10 years, I was doing mainly commercial work. When I went into pretty much as a leader in Ghana Law Society, that's when this whole tech thing came in. But guess what? There was not as many mentors in that space. So I had to get out and look outside, especially Uganda and out of Africa, for people to help to mentor in that space. And yeah, they've been very kind. I like to actually give back to the young people. But you find anyone who hears this story is always also ready to actually help you. So that took me into like so many spaces that you just wonder how actually how it basically happened. When you hold someone, someone else actually somehow the universe
works that way.
To also
hold your hand
and take you in spaces you've never ever like dreamt of.
Technology, you said, oh, I'm a dinosaur in, you know, in the fields that I'm doing. But when you still got into tech, to understand tech, because you had to read, do you ask yourself how you're able to apply, even if it's an impact on how to apply back? Because you're in a country that is more than a dinosaur. We're still getting there in some ways.
Not actually. There's a lot that's going on.
That's going on. But is it happening where you are? Because you're practicing here in Uganda. Help us see that picture as you see it.
Oh, my good. I work a lot with startups, and these don't even actually have to be startups in Uganda. Startups in the region who have a presence in Uganda, and I also work a lot with the big tech companies, which have, of course, a global presence, but and
operate also here in Uganda as well.
It's huge. I've highly specialized in fintechs, representing fintechs, which are doing a phenomenal job in bridging that gap between the very, very poor and I guess middle class or the rich on the continent, because before so many people were excluded from accessing financial
information services, or access or services.
If you talk about very simple like technologies now that most of these fintechs use, even just mobile money, right? Like, so the kind of technologies that these companies are using or these businesses are using to create impact. The other thing that actually I really love about tech space is that most of these companies concentrate on creating an impact in society, like moving us from one point to the
another.
One of the things that really interested me in blockchain in the really early stages was how you have this platform where it's very transparent and you're able to know what you're all doing, which is was very rare in our space in Uganda or Africa, that things were just never known to us. Like, the government is doing something, we are also doing something, and there was all this backlog of everything. But then you have these platforms where in record time you're able to know what someone is doing in a transaction. So that's one of the things that
transparency
really excited me. The whole whatever transparency, but also connecting people in rural areas to the urban areas. Or if, for example, there were some clients who were helping farmers to sell their products on the blockchain platform. So the farmers from wherever they were, they're able to their products, have them, you know, on the platform, and then anywhere in the world actually could know in record time where these products are coming from, how much the farmers were paid. So as opposed to the middleman taking everything.
Yes.
So I love that whole thing of, you know, impact, impact, impact.
That's a good way to look at it. It's transparent.
And also technology has been an enabler to connect us all, you know, pretty much human beings.
The world.
But like I said, it's a double-edged sword. And especially there's now a lot of work that, again, I'm doing with the young people to help them deal with all this, the technology we have on the market, which are causing...
It has negative impact.
To the human being, especially young people. It's like you're... your generation where people are kind of hooked on these kind of technologies. If I get to know that, oh my goodness, these people in Ukraine are dying. Oh my goodness, there's an accident on this road. So my brain, I'm supposed to be a human being going with my life, but then I'm struggling with this information. Unconsciously, it's affecting me.
Yeah.
It's there.
Mm.
And then before you notice it, then Instagram is saying this, TikTok is that. Then
your friend has posted their new hair. Now you don't like it. And then fickle things, let me tell you.
So I was talking to some young woman who's like, Alice, we're actually dealing with a lot. And I'm like, I empathize with you guys. Mm-hmm. I do. So for me, one of the things I say is that, so how do we heal?
Yeah.
So how do we actually prevent this kind of thing? There are tips, actually. So from Coffee with Alice mentorship, we came up with now a program called Coffee with Alice, like wellness. How do we help, you know, young people to human well, to be better people? Like, what if you're struggling with, you know, mental health? It could be many things. Mm. That level of anxiety is so high.
Mm.
When you're in school, talk about anxiety. Like in our days, think, like, please get on. Life is
so being weak. Exactly. Go.
Now there's different segments. So many things are affecting us, but genuinely the human brain is because it's struggling.
Yeah.
So we created that platform where, like, can we give tips and share things of how human beings can actually, you know, be better persons so that you're more productive. And one of the things personally I found to help is nature. So I found a lot of healing in nature because of where I live in some very tiny village.
Okay. And you still have a lot of green around you. Yeah, that's
far away from Kampala.
What's your third song choice, Alice?
Andrew Cohen.
Any particular one, or we'll just pick for you? Okay.
What if I can't turn back the hands of time? I wonder if our second chance could ever make you mine. Cause I love the way I miss you every day, the way you kiss my lips, the way you hug my hips. I love the time never passed by till you took for granted some reasons why. If I could bring one thing back about you, I want to then three to four then more. Ain't no reason to live, we're not as you gave. It's all I want, everything I still say. Ain't no reason at all, ever get me through the day. What if I can get my way? 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 Yeah. I hope you see me the way I'm seeing you. And I'll never comprehend that I'll never ever put you through. And I love the way I miss you every day, the way you kiss my lips, the way you hug my hips. I loved how time never passed us by till you took for granted some reasons why. Yeah. If I could bring one thing back about you, I want to then three and four then more. Ain't no reason to live, we're not as you gave. It's all I want, everything I still say. Ain't no reason at all, ever get me through the day. What if I can get my way? What if I can get my way? What if I can get my way? What if I can get my way?
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. My guest, Alice Namuli Blazevich, is the head of technology and innovation at Katende Sempewa and Co Advocates. So when you got out of uni, you went straight to the law firm. Help us understand, you mentioned being a partner a couple of times, and a lot of us have had that. Someone made partner, senior partner, and we've never really understood that, because at first I used to think, oh, that's somebody who's got a stake in the company. Then I'm like, but when they have 30 partners, do they all have a stake? So what does that mean, being a partner or senior partner?
We have different categories of partnerships. So you have equity partners.
Yes.
Then you have what we call also salaried partners. And people usually go through, like, different, you know, ranks.
Ranks, yeah.
Especially you you make partner as a junior partner, and each law firm actually has a different
way of doing it.
Yeah, okay, different way of doing it. So it also depends on many people when they leave law school, they set up their own
law firms,
own outfits. So it's their own thing until they bring on other people, you know, to become. So those are the two.
Okay.
Different categories.
All right. So you've been with them and you've risen through ranks. I want to hear what you believe in 2 decades, even if it's not just with the law firm, but in your career, in working, what you believe have been your greatest learnings. It could be learnings to become strengths as well. What you believe has set you apart? Because that's you measuring yourself now, not someone else looking at you and measuring by a yardstick. How you measure yourself and say, I think I've done well because I've been able to. What would you place there?
I would say I seek a lot of mentors outside the legal profession.
In different categories. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you believe you can learn something from them?
I've learned so much from them in terms of pretty much legal practice and, you know, a couple of things here and there. It could be still outside law. But I also like to learn. I'm part of different spaces where I've learned so much from people who are actually outside the law. Mm-hmm. And they've taken me in also other spaces to do different things.
Yeah.
And I think it's all started out like in Rotary. I joined Rotary when I was very young. And I joined this club where most of the people who were in this club were at the peak of their careers.
Right.
So they helped to mentor me. And most of them were really into politics, they were into businesses, they were executives at wherever they were. So they were really very, very kind people. Looking back, and I'm like, I was pretty much a young associate running around like a headless chicken. But they helped to bring out actually so much of Alice that I also didn't know. Like, for example, when you talk about like leadership, Rotary literally nurtured my path.
Wow. You talked about your children. You've got two, you said?
Yes.
And you said that hard task, I almost pulled myself from my chair, you homeschool your children. I said, oh my God, how do you do it? Because I've got a toddler running around and sometimes I'm like, oh, tomorrow you're going to school for 4 or 5 hours. It'll be okay. But then I also know that, of course, as a parent, you teach your child in different ways. But homeschooling is really, it's a task. How long have you homeschooled them?
We are coming to 4 years. We used to live in Kampala. We literally left Kampala because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then after the lockdown, we're like, why are we going back to Kampala?
Oh, you had fun. It was nice.
Yeah. And so we decided there's no reason at all for us to literally go back to Kampala.
School isn't a good reason.
And so we just hired movers, packed up.
You guys must have really loved it.
My husband and the children.
Yeah, but you know how sometimes you can like it and the other person is, you know, pulling back and forth.
No, it helps that one, we have both nature lovers. We love, you know, being outdoors. I love adventure. So being outdoor and in nature is like second nature. It's actually a default setting for me. And it also helps that my husband
also loves.
Yeah. So you're talking about school. So schools were closed for 2 years.
For 2 years,
so
yes.
We found a way of getting like teachers in the community to teach our kids, but we're still connected to our school in Kampala.
Yes.
Then we're told that if you want the children to pass this particular level, they should do KCC exams. I made us thinking, why do they have to do KCC exams? I asked the teacher, send me the documents.
Right.
They sent us the tests and my child was struggling to answer. So I looked at the exam. One of the things that really, really annoyed me was asked how many wives did Muhammad have? I'm just thinking, I don't actually know that answer. Like, I was just wondering, why are you asking? Like a 5-year-old? Five?
I mean, the average Catholic struggles to name all the Uganda matters. What? How? You can imagine.
I just didn't understand that. I think I really, really sliced away and I said, you know what, I'm so done with this.
Okay.
So we went opposite direction. So now our kids are unschooled. So they don't follow any syllabus. They're free range.
And there's a piece to that, isn't there?
So they would wake up, because they were first kids. And kids learn a lot in play.
Yeah.
So we have the space, wake up in the morning, chase the chickens, run around, go up and the trees, and then learn about gardening. So they do farming. They do, of course, do gardening. They take care of animals. They do a lot of sports, actually. I've created a curriculum, which is just me. So they start their day with looking inside. We call it like inner exercises, who they are as a human being before they attack the world, before anyone sees them. Can we check in with themselves?
Right.
And the best people to do that, it's us, the parents of these children. So we also do like affirmations. I give them, have you ever heard of body energy? Like
yeah.
where you hold your child and bless them. It's a healing process mm-hmm. where a child becomes very, very confident mm. and feels loved. And right. actually makes them very happy. Then you release them into the world. It could be prayer, it could be meditation, it could be all sorts of these gratitude exercises. They are grateful, you know, mm. waking up in the morning and you're actually grateful for
gratitude
that.
Gratitude is a big
thing. And we also
thing,
do that
yeah.
in the evening. Mm. So I'm their first teacher, I told you.
Yeah.
I don't teach them this and this, so because I have different teachers for different things. I'm the first teacher. As a mother, as a parent, they learn from me first. I cannot Absolutely. Put that responsibility
on someone else.
And that's where our society, so many things have gone wrong. Mm-hmm. We pay a lot of money to make you, the teacher, come up with some magic product.
Make my child this.
Exactly.
Turn them into this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you look at communities that base their education at home, they actually thrive differently.
Interesting.
The best example I would give you in our society, the Asian community. We go to the same schools with them, we come out as a completely different product. How do you explain
they,
that?
They result into something different.
Why?
I hear you, yeah.
Because 90% of their education is at home.
Mm.
For us, it's the other way around.
Mm.
The mother is like, go to school, you learn this. You learn all the manners, you learn all the values. You go to church. Yes, go to church.
Even the church teaches you.
Yeah, but the
yes.
church cannot teach you. Oh my goodness. This also takes me into this space of, we have a society where we're very good at going to church. Every corner, every nook, there's a, you know, a pastor coming out of here and there. But the people, the humans in the society are the exact opposite of what
they're supposed
that religion
to be, or what
different.
The title holds.
Mm. Yes, you understand. So, yep. where does that come from? In our hearts, we don't have the value system of actually what God wants us to be, or whether it's Jesus or Muhammad mm. or whatever. So, our spirituality and religion is very, very external. For me, when I left university, I started seeking and knowing. And so that's, I came across the Dalai Lama.
Yes, yes.
He taught me how to actually self-assess yourself as a human being and understand who you are. When you understand yourself, then you notice that most of actually the problems you have is because of you.
Yes.
But we don't want to do
it's
that.
Not witchcraft. So, sometimes you just have bad manners.
And I was thinking, what is this man? True. Is a very nice man.
Yeah.
But he's preaching love, kindness, and inner peace. And I realized all religions, actually, that's what they talk about. So I read more about him. I ended up going all the way to Tibet. At that time, I wanted to go through China to go to Tibet, but it was not possible. So I went to Nepal because I just learned how they use nature to heal, how they use all these things, you know. They live a very simple way
yeah,
of life. But everything is inner peace, inner joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say, who are these human beings? The religion I grew up in, everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus or whatever, my religion, is a what? Heathen?
An atheist, yeah.
Some
the ones who don't
so.
Believe God
like
exists,
here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, these people, they can't hardly even harm a butterfly. Find a Ugandan here. There's a butterfly and they'll smash it. Like, you understand, there is war. So when I went there, anyway, of course.
Then, we say one thing and do another.
So I fell in love with the whole, you know.
Wow.
I stayed with a Nepalese family for like 3 weeks. And to me, coming down, because they were on a hill, and I was there with them for all this time. And I was just thinking, these are simple human beings who want nothing but peace in life.
Mm.
And here we are, I was taught, like, because you don't believe in my religion, you may be a horrible human
you're
being.
You're wrong.
And yeah. So it's, anyway, that's one of my best experiences.
Wow.
Because through that, I was actually able to get on top of Everest.
Wow.
Seeking.
Yes,
seeking.
I have goosebumps as you explained your journey for inner peace. I want to hear your fourth song choice before I ask you a question about your inner peace.
Ed Sheeran.
Loving can hurt. Loving can hurt sometimes. But it's the only thing that I know. When it gets hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. It is the only thing that makes us feel alive. We keep this love in a photograph. We make these memories for ourselves. We're
where our eyes are never closing, hearts are never broken, and time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home. Loving can heal, loving can mend your soul, and it's the only thing that I know, I swear it will get easier. Remember that with every piece of you, and it's the only thing we take with us when we die. We made these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts were never broken, time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet.
Desert Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
This is Desert Island Discs, and rarely do I find myself speechless, or maybe actually it should be lost in thought when I have a guest. I'm always present, and I always can always find the next question. Okay? Alice is laughing at me. For some reason, as you explained your inner journey, I mean, I'm privileged to understand what you're talking about, and it's not gibberish to me because I have been on such journeys, and I'm a student of the universe and manifestation, so I know what you're talking about. Not everybody does. And I remember that for me, it was through self-assessing that I got to start the journey. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy when you can blame other people for what's going wrong. It's the easiest route. I am this way because so-and-so did this to me. My mother didn't do this to me. And this one didn't love me. It's very easy. But self-assessment or that inner journey is probably also the hardest. Because you get to confront so much about yourself that sometimes is painful to learn. Also, that inner quietness and stillness is not as easy as just reading about it. What has surprised you the most about yourself? If you can't share anyway, if you can't, we'll understand about your journey.
What surprised me?
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Nothing. Mm. Because I like to be very honest with myself. I had also been on a journey of understanding that actually these are my weaknesses and strengths.
Right.
I love my strengths and my weaknesses, apart from working on them, like I've told you, I'm impatient. Like very few people would be able to actually even understand why I'm impatient. I used to look at my father and I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish he could just be more patient. And I am literally that, right? I don't have that. My kids keep telling me, mommy, like, you understand?
Yeah.
So I've now just learned to be more like patient, right? More, I told you, I'm more black and white. So there, to
a
me,
little bit of
more,
gray.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I went through leadership trainings that helped me to gray. Mm. And also to understand and empathize with others who actually don't have that. Because I used to be like black and white. I don't understand. You make a decision. Yeah, I make a decision and say, okay, I'm going to see Flavia. I don't agonize with decisions.
Right.
It's either I'm going or I'm not going.
Yes.
I used to find it weird that some people would be like, do you think we should go to Flavia or we shouldn't? And I'm like, please make up your mind. Do you understand? And some people are like, oh my goodness, you're so impatient. What you're talking about, was it a struggle? Mm. I don't feel like it was a struggle. Why I related so much with the Dalai Lama is I've always thought that those are things that should lead a human being. Being kind, being loving, and, you know, having inner peace.
Yes.
But then there were so many externals around. Mm. So when I phoned this person, I was like, wow, that is my religion, right? Yeah. I don't want to hear anything else. Flavia, if you tell me, I want to know who you are through your actions. Don't tell me. Then I'll follow your God.
Yes.
But don't first tell me how
the speech about how, like, my God is wonderful.
Prayer mountain and all these things. And then you come down the mountain and then
You're doing something opposite. Hypocrites. So exactly. So yeah. Show me
your actions and then I'll know.
I'll follow. So you're right. I want to hear more about, before we wrap, about Coffee with Alice. You mentioned that. And I don't know if it's something you do that's open or it's a closed off and you pick and choose who you mentor.
It's open.
It's open, yeah. And is it in different categories? Just the lawyers of any industry, any young people? Is it tech?
It started out with lawyers.
Okay.
But then so many people now really reach out and able to. I'm happy always to share.
Do you do this often? Or is it station that you do it maybe on a Tuesday or once a week or once a month?
Well, it actually outgrew me basically because, yeah, we bring in different mentors, people to definitely help mentor. But I'm saying in terms of running it and coming up with different products because we have Coffee with Alice, we have. So Coffee with Alice, like I said, there's the mentorship bit. Then there's the teaching young people how to give back in society.
Right.
Without very minimal resources because most people are like, where do I start? I don't have money.
To and give. I'm like,
I don't have money to give.
You can give time.
I love to do community work. I enjoy it so much. Because one of the things my father really taught me is human beings, we are all connected. So if you came to me and said, Alice, help me with this particular as an individual, I'll struggle to help you, but then I would want to build a community because human beings, we are all spiritually connected. So when you're not happy in whatever way, or your children, then it affects me unconsciously. But people don't know that. People, we only know how to give. I'm giving this person because I'm related to them,
to
they are so and so. I've been on a journey to teach young people that, you know what, build your communities wherever you are. Actually, that also now gets into the hypocrisy of waking up in the morning and leaving starving people on the way to go to church or wherever and give and then come back.
Oh, wow.
You've passed them. So to me, I'm like, no, what can I do in my community?
You understand?
To empower the community. I'm on a journey to help to lessen the gap between the middle class and the very, very poor. Because one of the challenges we have in Africa, not only Uganda, is the majority of the poor people in our society will always define us. But people actually don't know that. Like, if you say you're from Uganda, you go to, like, in Paris, they will always look at you as Uganda, the majority of who Ugandans are. The crazy drivers on the road. You can't do away with
run
that.
Away from that.
You cannot run away from that. The majority of your society defines you, whether you like it or not.
Whether you're the anomaly who has stepped out of it, you're still one of
us. Exactly. And actually, many times, if you go in spaces, like, let me say in Scandinavian countries, right? And you say you're from Uganda, most people just wonder, you must have been the thief, the one who stole from...
Someone stole my necklace. Your people. It's no, you.
You must be the one who is stealing from your people.
Yes.
Taking care of your communities. Yeah. When you take care of your community, actually your community takes care of you.
Mm. Even in terms of information, if you know something, tell someone something that can help them improve their lives in any way. So when you were saying that it's not just money that you have to give, you can give like time, you can give information.
The Coffee with Alice thing has a reading project called I Read, I Innovate. So we read for children in vulnerable communities.
Wow.
Reading aloud, not to give out books.
Because
when you give out books,
they're going to put them aside.
No, they're going to give them to their mother who's going to use a sigiri to.
So oh, my word.
It was more of, it's more of how do I teach this child to be more creative and more curious. When you read aloud to a child, it's a mechanism of helping a child to spark, to bring out that, you know, spark.
Interest.
When you have more people, majority of human beings on the continent who are more curious and creative, then they will come up with tailor-made solutions for their communities and society. So they will don't have to wait for some donors to come
save us.
To pit latrines or to come up with a borehole.
Right.
Yeah. So you have human beings are curious. Why am I drinking dirty water? Do I have dirty toilets? What can I do about it? But when you have a society which is used to, like, oh, my cousin is going to give me this, my cousin is sending it to me, whatever, then you don't learn, and then it's a vicious cycle, and then people are neglected. Then you have angry, hungry human beings.
Not a good combination.
Not a very good combination.
As you wrap, I've just realized about your story. In the beginning, when you were saying that your father nurtured the confident girl in you, the one who was able to ask, the curious.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're doing for the society, actually. Now you ask them, why aren't you more like me? Be curious. Ask the questions.
No, but I'm also giving them tools.
I don't want to give money.
I want to say, what can I do?
Yes.
So there's like a community school in the area where we live. I realized for so long, this was set up by my brother and sister-in-law. For so long, they've been able to like raise a lot of money for the community, for the school. But then, and as a family, definitely, we've helped, you know. But one of the things we learned is that when you're helping very poor people, they actually never learn unless they've contributed something. So what I learned from that is that don't give actually someone money. Just create spaces where every person actually is able to thrive and like be actually more curious and creative. So one of the things I learned was reading aloud to children. So we'll do that. Two, providing activities in a school like chess. That helps them to
think.
To become like, I guess, more critical.
Cognitive focus, critical thinking.
So instead of just giving them money, go for the day and eat, you help them to empower their brains actually. Spark that, you understand? It's that spark. Like there's a light in you, but with no fire.
Yeah.
But if someone puts light in, spark, puts it in like, oh, I can actually, it's like a light bulb. You're like, okay, I'm able to do this. I'm able to do this. So what are those tools? They could be very simple tools which don't actually need money. Then you have a village that is alert. Then you have a community that is alert.
Oh,
everyone is curious and creative.
A positive ripple effect.
Reading aloud is really, really one of the things. And then the last thing about Coffee with Alice is leadership, right? So one of the things through my journey, was I found it difficult to understand why we have a struggle with leaders, right? Leadership. So I stopped blaming our leaders. So my problems actually have nothing to do with our LC1 or MP or president. No. My problems are me, right? So if we don't have something, I ask myself, what can I do about this situation to change it, right?
Either change you would like to see.
So that actually leads me into community. I'm like, you know what? I have this community around me. What can I do about it? Yes. I'm not going to wait for government.
Someone else to come and,
and do that. So through that, the coffee with Alice is that, how do you nurture leaders?
Yeah.
Leadership from
the bottom.
The bottom. So I believe in building a nation from the bottom. This person could be an activist, could be the minister of labor, but denying the human beings the immediate circle of influence. How can you lead others when you cannot
lead within your own immediate circle?
First, how do you lead yourself? You're a mother, right? Are you accountable to your children? Are you accountable to your husband? Are you accountable to the people, you know, the invisible domestic servants in your home? Before you walk out, Flavia, who are you?
Yeah.
And because you're horrible to your husband, because you're horrible to your children, you're horrible to the people in your home, all this negativity, it reflects on what they say outside.
It does.
Your actions end up affecting the people in your home. They go away and that's what they put out for you. Thinking, I'm a leader,
I'm perfect
here, I'm this and this. But it starts in your home. Leadership starts in your home. Starts with you yourself.
Yes. Then ripples. First the people
around you.
Yeah.
Then after that,
the circle grows bigger.
Say, the reason we people are just very confused. You someone is like, I'm moving here and here. Our leader. But who are they in their personal capacity?
True.
They are also very disorganized and very disorderly, and they cannot give. By the way, the other thing, what I don't like is that in many spaces, like in a corporate setup, right? Here you guys get maternity leave, you get all these things. Are you able to give those things to your shamba boy? Are you able to give them to your domestic?
Because you're here demanding for them.
You're demanding for them, but you're not thinking of that human being. Because these are invisible people in our homes.
True.
Anyway, so that's one of the areas of focus.
True. You know how Ugandans say you're shaking tables? I think you've thrown the entire table at this point. But you've given us food for thought, you know. And like I said, when you're doing self-reflection, it's not easy to accept what comes, you know, at you. But if you take it, if you go right in it, then...
Who are you, Flavia? Yeah. Behind these doors, who are you?
Who are you?
How do you do you relate with the people?
Because that's what matters the most.
Without the cameras, without anything, who are you?
When no one is seeing, who are you? When no one is clapping.
Just imagine hiring a 12-year-old to take care of your children, right? And then you're applying for a grant to save children in I don't know, Karamoja or Kavale. You're writing huge, you're receiving huge, huge money. But there's a child in your home, for goodness sake. She's not yet 16, but she's carrying around your children.
Yeah.
And she does not have all these other rights. So this child goes away. You think it's invisible, but unconsciously, what she gets from you is that you're not a good person.
Of course.
You're cruel, and I have the liberty to be cruel to others. You see how cruelty is built in our society?
Yes, it's a ripple effect.
When that child, 12-year-old, 13, she grows and becomes 16, she's angry with life.
Yes.
She goes and gives birth to a child who is also angry with life. unconsciously.
Cycle continues.
Exactly. That, and guess where? That domestic worker ends up giving birth to children. Somehow they end up in school and they meet your children somewhere.
Yes. It's your child's community in the future.
Exactly.
You know what? It's tough, but it's good food for thought. Alice, I've really enjoyed your reflections. I don't know if I had started this interview thinking that this is where it was going to go, but it's such a deep, beautiful reflection. I love it. I love it. What's our final song choice as we go?
Can you play Beethoven? Can you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Perfect. Beethoven, but of course, now that we wanted to know this part of her life, I mean, it makes sense why Beethoven would be on the list. It's been a real pleasure, Alice, getting to know your life. Thank you for being able to share here on Desert Islanders. Thank you. For those of you listening, if you would like to hear this and many of the other shows, anywhere you get podcasts, look for Capital FM Uganda. It's been a pleasure. Good night.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.